such sights to show you.
Oh boy. So let's not include any of that.
No.
Let's just go and do it.
Just I know, we're just like, I'm looking at this alcohol and I'm just like, I will nurse this and
yes.
call it a day.
Oh boy.
So let's dive right
let's
in.
Let's just go, yeah. Oh boy.
Let's jump right in. Welcome back everyone to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me as always is Anthony Fuentes.
I got too drunk last week. I'm sorry.
At this point it'll be weeks and weeks ago.
Oh, that's a good point. Remember how in the last episode I was very calm, I was having a great day, and I was like, it's 150.
And he was just like, and we're going to go to a party later, and it'll be awesome.
I lost a couple hours of my life.
They're gone.
I don't remember what happened. It was...
And I got to watch it all happen.
It was fucking insane. Oh boy, not doing that again.
Anyway, congratulations on your house, James.
Yay, yeah, a great party, I assume. I remember some of it was really good.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Anyway, today, much like getting too high and drinking too much in a strange situation, you know, it can cause some discomfort.
Yeah.
Might even make you feel like you're dying, in mm-hmm. my case. Or yeah.
Terrifying visions.
Terrifying. We're covering Final Destination 2.
That's right. Sequel time, baby. Yeah. We haven't done this. Well, no.
We did.
With the remake last week, yeah.
Yeah, we've done many.
We've done many sequels, but we haven't done a sequel to this franchise
no,
yet.
No, obviously.
Right. We finally came back. It's
Are
number
you still
two.
Drunk?
No. I had another angle there that I totally just flopped on. So,
it's fine.
Anyways, IMDb tells us that, of course, main character Kimberly has a premonition of an accident killing multiple people, including her and her friends. She blocks the cars behind her on the ramp, and as a police trooper arrives, the accident happens. Death is stalking this group of survivors.
I want to submit this as the shittiest IMDb synopsis.
It could be up there. I mean, it describes basically the first 15 minutes of the movie, and it's just like, and there's another part of the movie.
Well, it let's... I mean, sure, we have sentences, like, but barely.
Yeah.
Also, it just says, like, Kimberly, like, we're supposed to know
yeah,
who
right.
that is.
I know,
and then
right.
and then death is stalking this group of survivors. Like, it's just, it's stupid.
Yeah, yeah, it is pretty dumb. I agree. This was written by, of course, J. Mackie Gruber and Eric Bress.
Of course, Gruber and Bress.
That's the screenplay. The story actually came from, what was his name again? Oh, Jeffrey Reddick. So... Mm. You know, Jeffrey Wright from the first film. So, and it's directed by David R. Ellis. Of course, it stars good old hero superstar Ali Larder, AJ Cook, and Michael Landis.
Yay.
Okay, those are names.
Yeah. I mean, right.
Ali Larder. She's a name.
Right up top, AJ Cook. You might know her from The Virgin Suicides.
Oh, she was in The Virgin Suicides. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. I know her.
Great movie.
As. Supervisory Special Agent J.J. Giroux.
When what? What is that?
It's from Criminal Minds.
Oh, is it Criminal Minds?
It is.
That, you may as well have said to me, and Kimberly.
Right, exactly. I was going to get there, but you were just like, what is it? And I was like, I was going to get there.
I'm like, this is a lot of titles.
Yeah. No, she is a character, a main character in Criminal Minds.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, that's interesting.
That's the you know how I love my Criminal Minds.
That's
callbacks.
Right. Oh, it's been a little while too.
It has been a minute.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, this one was budgeted at a good old 26 mil. It released on January 31st, 2003, and it grossed 90.4 mil. So
good.
Still pretty good.
Wow, really?
Still pretty good, and it is the least successful in the entire franchise.
Really?
It's the least. It's, this franchise kills though. Like, I mean. You know, it kills.
It kills.
But
shut
like,
up. Shut up.
But at the box office,
you were
it fucking
for
kills.
IGN.
I know, right? You know, we have more to talk about here.
Yeah. Also, I must say, Anthony was given absolutely nothing for this episode. So.
No, I was not given. But you know what? Off top here, turns out I forgot that I had watched this movie like a million fucking times.
And I've never seen it.
She'd never seen it.
I thought I had. I mean, I've seen, like, the scene.
Like, the scene.
Where
yeah.
they gave an entire generation, like, collective trauma.
Everybody got their licenses 5 years later, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I, this was one of the first DVDs we ever had. Like, Oh, this fucking car. That's fine. This is one of the first, like, DVDs. Like, I want to say in the first four or five we've ever bought. It was, like, Planet of the Apes, the Tim Burton one. Okay. And Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
Pearl Harbor was one of them.
Really?
Yes, and Final Destination 3.
Okay. Yeah. You mean two?
Two, yeah. No, we never actually bought three.
Really?
Yeah, okay. No.
You know, arguably one of the better ones.
No, I agree. It was just on TV a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, so last we checked in on this franchise, the first installment was kind of a gigantic hit. Go listen to that episode for more.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely not bad for an X-Files spec script, if you remember.
Yeah. Remember, this series has very humble beginnings. Like, very yes. humble. It's a fucking blockbuster at this point.
The success was so surprising that New Line Cinema's president at the time personally reached out to writer Jeffrey Reddick and asked him to get a sequel going as soon as possible.
Oh, yeah. Get me the X-Files guy. This is coming from the top.
Give me the best possible. Thankfully, Reddick was pretty enthusiastic and already had some ideas. And he was on his own this time as James Wong noped out to direct a Jet Li movie.
And that Jet Li movie was also one of our earliest DVDs, The One.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Wow, you were just following this career path without even realizing it.
You know what it was? The only DVDs that were available at the time, because my dad just bought the DVD player. So he was in that zone. He was... got a raise, new TV, DVD player. He's like, yeah, we're getting all the fucking movies.
There you go. That's the only thing that can make sense.
Yeah.
So to replace the talented director, New Line Cinema went with the only logical replacement, stunt coordinator for Scarface and director for Homeward Bound 2, Lost in San Francisco, Mr. David R. Ellis.
Oh, what a range.
A repertoire.
Oh, there's more to his range. Watch, because he's been in up and down Hollywood.
The Santa Monica-born director had quite a career as a second unit director for films such as Waterworld, the first Harry Potter, and The Matrix Reloaded. This guy has a very interesting filmography, as Anthony previously stated.
It really is pretty cool. Like, it's pretty cool. He's done a lot of big movies. And he directed Homeward Bound 2,
Lost in San Francisco,
which I saw in theaters as a child.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I did. And the first Homeward
Bound. I have such a negative connotation with Homeward Bound.
Why?
It's not a podcast topic.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, I used to love it.
Good for you.
Michael J. Fox is the fucking bulldog. It was great.
Great.
Yeah, it was great. It was a good movie.
Good for
it's
you.
It's not a good movie. It's not a good movie.
Anyway, so being a Hollywood veteran at this point, Ellis did his homework, saying, quote, I wanted our film to be able to stand alone, but I watched Final Destination first to see what they did that was so successful. I tried to use some of that while trying to keep a standalone feel for our movie. I kind of took what worked and tried to improve on it, unquote.
Yeah, so he's
yeah, I mean, he's trying.
He's like, I don't want to be too much like it, but like, let's keep all the good stuff.
Yeah, let's just keep the continuity going.
Yeah.
So the team did their best to make the deaths as gruesome as possible, but apparently they went a little too hard early on and decided to rein in some of the deaths that they came up with.
And that didn't come from up top. They literally looked at some of their first drafts and were like, dude, we're not going to be able to make another fucking Final Destination movie if we're going to top off like this. Like, we need to bring some realism here.
Just bring it in.
It's like, these people have to care about these guys.
So, Ali Larter was hesitant to come back as Claire Rivers, but changed her mind completely after reading the script, which she absolutely loved.
Yeah, she was a big fan. I mean, it helps that she's like a big part of the movie.
She's a big part of the movie. Yeah. She also gets a send-off.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of a janky one, but I'll take it.
We can talk about this. Oh my god.
It's going to come up. We're going play by play today. Spoiler alert. Yeah.
So, anyway, rumored has it that Devon Sawa opted out as New Line offered him less money for the role of Alex Browning, but producers downplayed this and said his lack of presence was purely for narrative reasons.
Yeah.
Which I call bullshit!
Well, they kind of even, in the interview I saw, they were like, despite, Devon Sawa's unwillingness to come back, so they kind of let it slip. It was, I saw like a paper from the era.
Oh, like, where they were just like unwillingness. He wanted money.
But to be fair, I think another thing was he actually had a lot less to do in this movie originally. So they were like, we're not going to give you the same fucking amount of money. Like, no, you're not
he's
leading.
He's not going to be the main character.
Yeah, you're not leading.
He's probably just going to be another side character. Like, I mean, not to say that Ally Larder's character is a side character, but she definitely just moves the plot along.
I mean, yeah, I feel like maybe all of Devon Sawa's lines went to just her character after a while.
I believe that.
Yeah, I can see that being the case. They're like, we don't need two of them.
Yeah. The producers also made lead A.J. Cook dye her hair as they didn't want to confuse her with Ally Larder. The character of Kimberly Corman was originally written as a black woman, but the studio decided to go a different direction on casting. I wonder why.
That's so interesting. They're just like, okay, first of all, too many blondes. But
also, too many blondes.
Also no browns.
Great. Classic Hollywood tale.
Oh, yeah.
On this experience, Reddick states, quote, usually the people of color get whitewashed and my gay or lesbian characters get de-gayed. It's been very frustrating as a creative person and as a person of color who's gay. It's especially frustrating, unquote.
Oh, poor Reddick.
That's annoying as hell.
It's really annoying, especially like this. You know, this is like post 9/11, whatever. Mm-hmm. Hollywood's trying to be a lot more inclusive. And they're like, you know what? But too dark and too gay. We can't have that happen right now. No, not if you're leading. You are a sidekick character, sir. That's it.
Whites only.
Whites only. We're going to make some money off of this.
Jesus.
Yeah, you know producers had that conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Behind closed doors, sometimes not behind closed doors. It happened, for sure.
As long as there isn't a mic or camera around, they'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So the film was shot on Vancouver Island, as every city USA, or not USA, every city Canada, you know how it is. And the team utilized as many practical effects as possible to capture the iconic car accident scene, and of course many of the deaths. So there is CG in this movie, but there's a lot of practical stuff. They really did as much as they could. To touch on this, in fact, the main use of CG was for the log shot in the opening, which the special effects team in an interview were just like, they pretty much hired us to the log shot. Like,
so
that's
good.
Why they hired us. And of course, additional blood and like fire effects for a few of the deaths.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really, you know, burn somebody as an 18-wheeler comes at them.
What?
No, you can. You're right. They're just lazy.
They need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps and burn some people alive.
How much would we pay for this actor? I just want the cheapies, dude. Get him.
Just set him
close
on
up
fire.
On his face. Close up on the face. Yeah, scream better.
This isn't a union set. Fuck him.
He's not screaming that much. Turn the heat higher. Turn it higher.
Turn it up.
Okay, guys, hold on. Can we cut? Keep saying it. That's horrible.
We're assholes.
But of course, actually, this whole thing was not for lack of trying, as the log shot they attempted to use initially had actual logs in it, but they just could not get them to bounce because, you know, physics.
Yeah.
They couldn't.
Do you know how heavy logs of that magnitude?
Apparently the stunt fucking team didn't, so.
Physics!
Yeah, they couldn't get the bounce. They're like, fuck it, we'll do the CG. But yeah, there's footage online of them dropping logs in the middle of the freeway.
Are you fucking proud of yourself?
I am.
Yeah. Are you 12?
Yeah, Google dropping logs in the middle of the freeway. You'll find some interesting stuff.
You're 12. You have...
Improv, baby, yeah.
Oh my fucking God.
Anyways, life cast of the actors were also utilized, though actor Michael Landis, cop guy, had a panic attack due, of course, to claustrophobia while shooting the scene in the beginning. So
yeah, that would be stressful.
He's like, I'm strapped in a cast, there's fire everywhere. Like, guys, we got the shot.
Get me out of here!
But when it came time for release, critics were far more split, actually, on Final Destination 2 compared to its predecessor. Of course, it netted only a 48% on Rotten Tomatoes, with the critical consensus reading, quote, this sequel is little more than an excuse to stage elaborate, gory scenes of characters getting killed off. This could have doubled for the IMDb synopsis.
Yes.
That would have been a lot better, actually. Roger Ebert gave it a mere 1.5 stars, saying, he did not like it, saying that Final Destination 2, quote, takes a good idea from the first film and pounds it into the ground, not to mention decapitating, electrocuting, skewering, blowing up, incinerating, drowning, and gassing it. Perhaps movies are like history and repeat themselves. First is a tragedy and then is a farce.
Wow.
Scathing.
Jesus Christ, scathing. Roger.
I know. Get it? Just lighten up, buddy. So,
yeah, right.
Audience responded to this sentiment with a resounding whatever. And still made Final Destination 2 open at number 2, behind Al Pacino's The Recruit. And it ultimately grossed $90.4 million, as we said up top. I mean, it's at the bottom of the list of earners for the Final Destination franchise, but it's honestly just, it's just that successful a franchise that even this very big hit.
Like, I know what Final Destination 2 is. I don't know what The Recruit is.
Mm-hmm. That's a very, very good point.
Just saying.
I know The Recruit just from TV spots, and I only remember Al Pacino's face looking mad.
I just know who Al Pacino is. Yep. That's it.
So Final Destination 2 has a... also split 2.8 rating out of 5.5k reviews, again landing it right down in the middle. So let's just see how it goes. User Silent Dawn is a fan, giving the film a 4-star rating, saying, quote, "The set pieces are off the charts. Rube Goldberg machine heaven. Total anarchy." This is what happens when a second unit action director takes over a successful horror property and is frequently glorious, end quote.
All right, understandable.
Yeah, I can understand that take completely. Now, Fake Shrimp awards the film no stars. None.
Fake Shrimp.
No stars. Simply saying, Clear deserve better.
Facts.
Yes.
Facts.
Fam Squad Yeet.
Okay. Wow, are you just picking people with the most creative
letterbox names? No, these were on the first page. Race the film right down the middle, saying, I can't tell if these Foundation movies are amazing or terrible.
Fair.
fair. And alas, Lee gives the film 3.5 stars, saying, quote, "Thank you, Final Destination, quote, "Thank you, Final Destination, for all of my irrational fears."
Yeah.
Oh, they play him up. They play him up like a motherfucker.
I mean,
every installment.
It every time.
Except the NASCAR one. That was dumb. That was so dumb.
Well, that's the one that also had the escalator death, though, right?
Oh, that's true. Never mind. I take it back. Shitty movie, terrible, horrifying scene. Yes.
No, that scene, well, that was like the one scene where I was like sad. Like, I was like, this isn't even scary. This is just like sad.
Yeah.
And also is giving me a fear here, but also it's just really sad.
Yeah, yeah. For such a, even shitty movies can have one effective scene.
Mm-hmm.
But that opening was like the worst
out of, the NASCAR
out of all of them.
First of all, you'll never find me at a NASCAR race, so I'm safe.
I'm like, oh yeah, none of these fears mean shit to me.
You're not going to find me at NASCAR.
Nope.
Sorry to all of our avid NASCAR watchers.
Yeah, we probably don't have that many. Anyways, writer Jeffrey Reddick would actually take a break for the third installment, which went quick into turnaround and brought back the other original creators, James Wong and Glenn Morgan. But we'll get to Final Destination 3 another time. We got plenty to talk about with this bad fucking... sequel right here.
I cannot wait to get to 3.
Oh, that's...
3 is the one I've seen the most.
I've probably seen this one and 3 the most to get collectively.
No, like, 3 like, by far.
I feel like...
Actually, maybe the first one and 3.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I had the most access to 2, but I loved 3 so much more. Like, 3 is just,
good to me.
Oh, I love that movie. But I actually really like this one, too. So let's get on. Let's get on with it.
Let's do it.
Plot time. Yay.
Yay. Okay. So it has been 1 year since the crash of Flight 180 from the first Final Destination. And now we're following Kimberly Corbin, played by AJ Cook, and her horny-ass stoner friends on their way to Daytona Beach for spring break. Woohoo, spring break!
Oh my god, these
characters... Titties!
Yeah, there you go. These characters are all the people you know they're gonna die in any horror movie. Like,
yes.
They just have the blondness.
They're instantly gonna die. They have the blondness, they have the stonerness, like the stoner friend.
Girl's kind of hot, and then the dude's kind of frumpy.
Like, we have the stoner friend, the hot friend, and then we have, like, the random throwaway character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all
stoner
fucked.
Friend is just like, dude, you know how much weed I have on me? I did forget this was in, like, what, 2003, when weed was still, like, a serious thing you could be arrested for.
I mean, they're also not in California, though.
Whatever.
So, other states still have this problem.
It's true. Also, like, I will just say it now, no one should be in jail for weed.
Not one person at all.
Ever.
Again, it's legal here in California, and we fucking love it.
And we we love it. We love our recreational marijuana.
You know what? No, we're gonna smoke real quick right now. I have the pen ready.
He's taking a smoke break on the air. Just for you guys, thank you.
There you go.
But seriously, like, it
oh, that's nice.
It's a travesty.
That's freedom right there that we just did. Freedom. Yeah? Isn't freedom smooth?
That's actually quite delicious.
Yeah, we were doing it at the party that I forgot about.
I'm going to hold on to that. Like, I hope. Anyway.
Oh, no. But you're part of the group now. That stuff never dies. Trust me. Eddie, wow. Oh. And there is our pro-California rant for...
No, that is our liberal soapbox moment. No one should be in jail for weed.
Oh, absolutely.
Full fucking stop.
Absolutely.
Anyway, the stoner guy is like, really? Like, he's just like, no, man, you know how much weed I have on me? Which was like, it looked like maybe like... half an ounce. Like, it wasn't...
The cops heard us.
They're like, get the stoners!
We got them on recorded. They're recorded. Let's get them. This is a federal offense, lady.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, that's right. This is prime Nate Dogg era. These guys are doing it perfect. So, we get a snapshot of each character stuck in traffic. Officer Thomas Burke, driving behind a log truck, stupidly. Eugene Dix, who is on a motorcycle, which is dangerous enough. Kat Jennings, who is on the phone in her SUV talking to her mama. A guy in a muscle car with a punchable face. A mother and son. Son looks a little doofusy. A good old stoner, druggy, single dude just doing his own thing, talking shit.
I mean, I think he's doing, like, kebabs in his car.
Yeah. He was doing cocaine, too. That's right. Yeah. Man. And a soon-to-be very important pregnant lady. She's already pregnant. In a white van.
Yeah, it's just like, no, she's
definitely... She just jumped 9 months.
They have to run away from their death for 9 months.
Oh my God. If we just stay in the apartment, I got at least out for another year. We're good.
We're good. So, as they make their way to the highway... Okay, well, can we pause right here for a moment, shall we?
Yes.
Kimberly is, like, seeing... Like, this is, like... Just watching this scene gave me so much anxiety.
Oh my God.
As an anxious driver.
Okay, that fucking little piece of shit kid, right? With the two little toy trucks banging them against each other.
I was just like, Jesus Christ.
I'm like, I don't know who your dad is, but I hope he turns around and hits you in the mouth, little boy.
I know. I never would have flipped off a kid so fast in my life. Like, generally, I love kids, but, like, if a kid made direct eye contact with me while I was driving and just, like, smashed cars together while I'm driving, like... Fuck off, kid!
Like, I'm like, what side? Oh, you're on the side closest to me? How about a fucking...
Anyway.
Sorry, no, I tried to avoid a squirrel, sir.
No, like, the sun is shining, but the road is slick with water. Yeah. Like, it had just been pouring, but then the sun was just like...
Bye-bye, clouds.
Yeah, so it's wet, it's bright... everyone's driving like a fucking maniac.
Yeah, people are urgently trying to get somewhere.
Like, everyone's cutting everyone off. It is stressful as fuck. And it's enough reason for me to never go to Florida.
Oh my God, no, it really is, like... I mean, it's also such a... Something about the way it's shot, too. It's very cinematic. Like, it just looks good.
It looks stressful. It looks good, but the way that it is shot is obviously made to induce panic.
Yes, that's what I mean, though. Like, they kind of did it pitch perfect. They really did.
Yeah. So, as they all make their way to the highway, a log falls from a truck. So, this is the scene, the iconic scene in question. They're driving behind this logger. A truck falls from,
the kid's truck just destroys everything.
Just kills everyone. A log falls from the truck and demolishes Officer Burke, leading to the gruesome deaths of each motorist on the road, with lots of explosions and runaway tanker trucks.
Okay, yeah, they got the death truck just, like, all the way back,
just
not
through
stopping.
Flame, just like, meh, meh. Mm-hmm. And then you just see, like, the guy is just like, help me! Help me! He's just like, meh, crash!
Oh,
and
my God.
So good.
Devastating. But, you know, like, the way you kick off this fucking scene... I cannot emphasize how amazing this log shot is, that not only is the CG kind of pitch perfect, the balance obviously physically makes no sense.
No,
but
boom, boom,
yeah, but it is effective. And when it hits through the car, seeing the blood come out the other end, like this just squishy juice of a former human being.
Just, yeah, it's wet.
It's, yeah, it is wet, and it is Oh, and then right away, the next one is the motorcycle. Which, that's devastating.
Okay, so the motorcycle, like, he swerves and he falls and he, like, hits something. And then he's like, okay, I'm fine. And then he gets decapitated and crushed by his own fucking motorcycle.
Oh, it is bad. And, the one that fucked me up and that to this day scares the shit out of me is the water bottle going underneath the gas pedal.
Dude!
With the parents.
Oh my god. So we yada yadded, but so there's the kid who's like smashing his toys together. I think this is also either that kid or the annoying kid with the punchable face who's like playing the drums with water bottles.
Yeah.
And they're full of water bottles.
It's the dumb kid, yeah.
It's the dumb kid. I'm just like, okay, first of all, who does that? One, who does that?
Yeah.
It's like annoying as hell. Two, unnecessary and impractical. Have you ever tried to like hold water bottles, like full water bottles?
Ugh.
It's stupid. Anyway.
Yeah, he's probably not going to be a good drummer.
No, it's impractical. And also, why would you do that in the car? Anyway, the water bottle falls and slides under the brakes. And to this day, I am terrified of something getting under my brakes.
Same here.
My brake pedal.
It's bad. It's like a hyper irrational fear, but it fucks with me.
This is one of the fears that I don't know if I got it just from like my parents being like, don't throw anything under like at my legs while I'm driving, saying that to me as a kid, mm-hmm. or just seeing the scene at some point and it just imprinted itself in the collective unconscious and thus my brain as well.
I also don't know the origin because you're right, that's kind of similar to my journey also.
I think it might just be a collective like driving safety thing, like make sure there's nothing under your brakes.
Oh my god.
But that is terrifying.
It's fucking horrible. It's so bad. And then, pretty much every other death is just fire and goddamn brimstone. It is
fire, brimstone, guts, gore. It is gnarly.
It's fucking gruesome. But anyways, this, again, right before I go, just one of the best scenes in this franchise, obviously. But this is, like, an iconic horror scene.
It's such a bummer because it's the first, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, it really sets the bar insanely high. Although we do have some pretty good kills. So
they're fine.
This is revealed, of course, to be a premonition. And as Kimberly readies herself to enter the highway, she holds up traffic and ends up saving each of the former fated characters. But she can't save her friends who get taken out by the runaway truck from earlier, who was running away way ahead of time.
This took me out, by the way. Like, what? This, like, I did... Because, again, I haven't seen this movie. I've only seen the scene. Mm-hmm. So, like, this part, I did not know. Like, and from this point on, I know nothing. Like,
that's
interesting. This is first reactions. I don't know shit. So he's like, you know, she's like freaking out and they're just like, oh, no, no. And then all of a sudden, just the tanker truck just like coming through and taking out her car.
Yep.
I was just like, oh shit, we are starting this early.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no, this movie surprisingly does not let up, really.
No.
Like, that's what I appreciate about this. Again, I actually had never appreciated it as much as I do until now.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, because it really is very well paced. But yeah, those friends were fucking, I'm glad from a narrative standpoint that they're like, I know they're useless, so let's just take them out for shock value.
They're fodder. We'll just kill them immediately.
Yeah, that was fucking great. But yeah, runaway truck takes out her bros and everybody's sad.
So from here, we make our way to the police station where cyclist Eugene creepily delivers our exposition dump and reiterates the story of Alex Browning and how his prediction about the crashing of Flight 180 challenged death and ultimately doomed all of his friends. This is exposition dump to end all exposition dumps. It's like, do you remember a year ago today when Alex Browning, like, it just reiterates the entire plot of Final Destination.
But he knows he's fucking with the kid too, which is great. I love his tone. He's just like, and then he's just scared. It's like, it's actually a really good exposition dump, but it's the opposite to me of the four exposition dumps we got in Pet Sematary 2.
That's true.
Four times did characters stop to be like, you know, the whole Pet Sematary, don't bury your pets there or anything else.
Never know what might happen.
Oh, what happened like a couple years ago though is this, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but don't worry. Just don't bury anything there.
This one was just like the story delivered well and that's it. You don't really care about it anymore. Yeah. Until Ali Larder gets there, obviously.
Sure.
The characters part ways, and we follow the first victim on death's list, Evan Lewis, who the punchable face guy, who just won the lottery and avoided a horrible death in his muscle car. I had a bad grammar there. He faithfully tosses out his spaghetti and ends up fleeing his burning apartment and, of course, is impaled via escape ladder.
Okay, so I watched this because I was not going to pay money for this movie. Mm-hmm. I watched it on Philo, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I once again got the...
Oh, the TV
the
one.
Censored version.
Oh, you missed the, like... The gnarliness of this kill then, huh?
Well, it cuts to commercial.
Right when it's
right
coming
as
down.
It falls.
Yeah, no, it actually shows it going through his eyeball.
God damn it.
Like, it's like pretty gruesome, actually.
Oh, God damn it. I feel, now I...
Yeah, well, see, okay, I've seen this movie a million times. I also didn't want to pay for it, but, but despite it also being the TV version, I actually went back on YouTube and just looked at all the kills. I just ran down every single kill.
Okay.
In full graphic glory.
I should have done that. God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I watched it on Philo or whatever, and it was, there was also a couple other, like, what the fucks that were just, like, bleeped out.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a pretty cuss, no, I wouldn't say cuss-heavy movie, but it's an R rating.
It's,
like,
I mean,
for sure an R.
Yeah, which I get, yeah. But there was a couple moments where I'm like, oh, they bleeped that out. Like, I thought mm-hmm. I was like, no, damn it.
It's okay. Now, strategy for next time, just go find the kills later, because these ones are really good.
It's true.
These
it's
ones
true.
Are really
this,
good.
This was actually quite creative. I also wish, like, this is the first time I've had to watch a movie with fucking commercials in a minute.
On AMC, it didn't have commercials.
Well, la-di-da.
You have the login.
Now I know.
We say this like every couple episodes. Like, Alex, you have solutions.
I thought I had a solution. I didn't know I had an option that was commercialless.
Yeah. No commercial in that one.
Gosh, darn it. Anyway.
Oh, the hand inside the garbage disposal on this one, though, was very effective. So effective.
Okay, just take your watch off before you stick your hand into your garbage disposal.
He just bought the watch, Alex. He won the lottery.
Who gives a shit? Like, I
probably buy another one here. That's a good point.
Yeah. Like, I also, like, whatever. You know, he's also a dumb kid. Like, I'm not gonna, like, be like use logic as a standing post for this, but good lord. Anyway, so we make our way back to Kimberly, who discovers that one Flight 180 survivor still lives. The terribly named Clear Rivers, who has had herself committed to a psych ward. She visits Clear and discovers that not only did Devon Sawa's character disappointingly get killed off screen, but that for some reason, death is still working in reverse now?
Yeah, this is one of the things I always found dumb. I'm like, there's no need to have
convoluted rules. They explain it later, but this is like, I'm like, oh, death is working in reverse now? And she's just like... How could that be? And it's just like, shut up, Clear.
Yeah. And she's like, maybe you could help me out and figure it out. She's like, ah, fuck off. Like, you do it by yourself.
And then she's just like, in my eyes, you're already dead. And she's just like, okay, bye. And then she decides to leave. And I'm just like, I would have just stayed. But whatever.
I would be like, and you're about to be, bitch. Don't let the door hit your ass on the fucking way out.
Right, she's like, don't get mad at me because I thought of this first.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey, there's a room right next to me. You can be buds.
Stupid.
You'll be back! Or you won't! Good fucking luck! Oh, that would have been great. Our version of Clear is very different.
Obviously. Yeah. Yeah. Although that's, you know, not far off.
That's... Anyways, Kimberly and the now interested Officer Burke figure out that death is coming for the teenage survivor, who is at the dentist and will have pigeons to thank for his demise. After a torturous dentist visit this one fucked me up. Our heroes scream the word pigeons at him, prompting the little boy to rush the pigeons in front of him and, you know, results in his own death, which is a window pane being dropped right
this
on.
This is not the first time that they inadvertently caused someone else's death in this movie.
No, this is definitely not the last time, because this is going to keep happening.
No, oh, sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah, this is the first time, but it's first of many.
This is like their shtick for the entire movie, where they're just like, okay, this is what's going to happen. Here's the signs.
Oh, my God.
And it causes the murder.
I feel like death is like, just give her a vision of something in the area. I'll make it work. Just let her run and declare something.
Yeah, they're just like, well, he's just like, I'll just like tug the strings a little bit. And then, you know.
Like, my God, she's doing my job for me.
Yeah, right.
This is vacation time I hear.
I'll just take a half day.
Okay, but this fucking dentist visit, though.
fuck, ooh, dude? Ooh. What the fuck? Like, being like, oh, I'm just tired of replacing my window because pigeons keep flying into it. Pigeons keep flying into your window.
As he's like, has sharp instruments in his hand.
He's like jolting. Mouth. And then also, like, okay, I have never gotten nitrous gas. Like, I have never gotten laughing gas at the dentist. No. I either want to be completely numb or I want to be entirely unconscious. There is no middle ground for me.
Yeah.
That was terrifying. And then the idea that he can't move, he's stuck there, and his mouth is, like, open, pried open, and then something falls into his mouth. He shouldn't be left alone.
But they had to get the pigeon out of the office, because...
And he was just super... He was supervising. He was like, oh, you should really get that pigeon.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Hey, the deadliest pigeons in the history of horror movies right here.
It was just fucking awful. Anyway.
Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, you eat your goddamn heart out. This is something else.
Yes. So... realizing they're in over their heads, Clear tracks down the dynamic duo and takes them to the only man who can provide some direction, Tony Todd. In his most coy and menacing delivery, he informs the troupe that they must bring new life to defeat death.
I feel like he pulled his roll out of his ass.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, this is a Tuesday? Sure.
He's like, oh, shit, you guys made it pretty far. Okay, listen, I've actually never gone past this point, but I think, speculate, maybe something else? You know, maybe new life? Maybe it'll confuse him. I don't know.
This also, like, you know, there's a lot of deaths that you could be empathetic for. That fucking killed me.
Yeah, that's always got.
I've never been more empathetic in my life.
I can never look at that scene, to be honest, which I never could. Mm-mm.
I was sitting there watching. I was just like,
They put this on TV? They put this on TV? Yeah.
It was awful. No saw trap. No, nothing. That was the scene that really made me curl up into a ball.
Oh yeah. No, that and it's on a dead body at that.
No, exactly. Like, he can't feel shit. But no. At the same time, I was just like, mm-hmm. No, thank you.
The sound effect too. It's like,
yeah, there's a ripping sound. There's a flesh ripping sound.
No. Yeah. I don't think about it. All right. Well, the squad realized that there was a pregnant lady that survived the crash with them. So
you're like, I'm gonna keep going.
Yep. They huddled the remaining survivors in an apartment in order to wait out the pregnancy because they are desperately hoping that is how the rule actually works.
Yeah. They're just like, I'm going to interpret this however I want to interpret it, because Tony Todd is a master of clarity.
I love too that, like, as soon as Clear is like in the apartment, Death just does a real quick like attempt to take her out, and she like it's like, ah, I got you. Like, okay, we're gonna have to death proof this fucking apartment because this is gonna be a problem.
Yeah. Gotcha, Peach. So this isn't enough for the mother who lost her son and sued her head in an elevator hijinks gone wrong.
Very wrong.
So wrong.
Very horrifyingly wrong.
This is once again them like being like, I'm gonna try to save this person and instead cause their death.
Oh my god! If she would have done nothing,
she would have been fine.
She would have been totally fine.
But instead, she's so invested in just like, I need to make sure she lives.
Just because like the old man looks maybe a little creepy. So
and he leans over and, like, sniffs her hair like a fucking weirdo.
Okay, yeah, he actually is a weirdo. That's good. Yeah. I totally forgot about that part. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, creepy old man with hooks. But, I mean, you know, he's just a sniffer. He wouldn't want to kill her.
Yeah, you don't know that.
Well, either way, it's irrelevant. She did.
She sniffed her. Damn near.
And he bought himself like an extra 10 years on his life because Death was like, all right, good buddy, you're the instrument here. I'm gonna leave you alone.
You're good.
You sniff your grandkids wherever you want, buddy. It's all you.
Ew.
But lovingly.
Yeah. So. Yeah, right.
Oh, that's horrible.
That is horrible.
So Kimberly declares another one of her distracting premonitions, as we just said, which results in the death of the person she's trying to save. Of course, Eugene witnesses this, and promptly, he loses his shit.
Oh my god. This is the guy who's just like, I'm cool.
Oh, he played it up so like he's like, whatever, for like the movie up until this point.
Yeah, and then he loses his shit because he just watched someone's head get ripped off of her fucking body.
Oh my god, it's bad. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Eugene barges back into the apartment and attempts to take his own life with a pistol, only to have it jam each time he pulls the trigger, because, you know, it's not his turn yet, because that's how death works.
Ugh. I mean, they play this up again more in the third one, where the guy thinks he's invincible.
Mm.
Yeah, and then shit happens, he's like, oh, fuck, it's my turn again.
It's my turn.
That scared me! Yeah, so it's not... Oh, these rules are stupid.
No, it is just they are playing fast and loose with the rules.
They really are. That couldn't just be like, okay, fine, buddy.
Sure, you want to die? Sure.
Yeah. I'll start the list again at the front.
It just takes one thing off of my plate. Sure, I can take a half day.
He's like, oh man, I thought because she was there, like this would result. She should have just yelled gun. It would have worked.
Gun!
Bullet!
Bang.
See, there you go. Officer Burke uses good old police lawlessness to detain the pregnant Isabella, not realizing her water is ready to break, and the officer guarding her is so not prepared for that scenario.
It's, like, laughable. It's the most, like, traditional, like, I'm a man, I don't know how pregnancy or women work at all, and it freaks out.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And she is doing, they're giving her the most, like, feisty Latina, like, fucking voice, like, you got to help me!
It plays on stereotypes. Like, these two characters, like, just rely on stereotypes to the point of just, like, exhaustion.
Oh, absolutely. It is horrible.
Like,
pregnant Latina worker in a van.
Yeah, meets useless man who doesn't know anything about anything.
Fumbling white dude police. I don't know where my gun or my badge is. Like, he's, like, that guy.
And, okay, so we're gonna get to it. So, anyway. So, the team carpool as they hunt for Isabella. I do want to mention this. Officer Burke is so breaking the law.
Yeah, you see.
He's losing his pension. He is losing his job. He's getting arrested for this. Like, putting out an IPB on someone who hasn't done a single fucking thing.
That would assume there's accountability, Alex.
I know. This is a movie. I can project my own personal fantasy onto this as much as I'd like.
I love how, like, it takes a fantastical, fictional story for us to think, like, and of course there'd be justice.
Of course this could be possible.
Yeah.
Anyway, the team carpools, they hunt for Isabella and reveal a connection to a survivor from Flight 180 or a scenario that was affected by it. They all had narrowly missed death already. So the Reaper was simply tying loose ends.
Merrily.
Life is but a dream.
Oh,
it's
man.
A nightmare.
You remember when we almost burned to death? Oh my god.
Jesus Christ.
Boy, old times. So their revelations are, of course, cut short as more highway hijinks result in the crew crashing into good old PVC pipes. With Kat stuck in the driver's seat and Eugene injured and in need of some very serious medical attention.
So we haven't really talked about Kat yet. This is like the, like, no-nonsense businesswoman who's, like smoking, like, her cigarellos.
Her life is cigarettes, her cell phone, and her car.
Yeah.
Those are the three things that, like, she loves.
And, like, her pantsuits.
Yeah, and her pantsuits.
So, it is, it's important. Just bear Kat in mind for the next line. A snippy firefighter attempts to save Kat and sets off her airbag, impaling her as she drops her cigarette into a mystery trail of gasoline. This results in a news van blowing up and the dismembering of our stoner character. Okay, so let's pause for plane.
Let's pause for flight 180, yes. And we got her on. No. Oh, that's bad. That's a bad joke. I hope they all get home safe.
Yeah. Sorry. Don't want to talk shit about
it. I just got off a plane like a week ago.
Yeah, like knock on wood.
Yeah. I don't know. Everything's fine.
Anyway, so a lot just happened. Let's tear it apart.
Okay.
This scene, like, it's like boom, boom, boom. People are dead.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Death just, like, goes after people. Their stoner character, which is, like, it's not just, like, your traditional, like, I smoke weed, I'm a fun guy. This guy is, like, I am on cocaine right now, and you guys are gonna deal with it.
He knows he's a mess.
Yeah.
Because he's just, like...
He's a disaster.
Before they leave on the car, he's just like, can you, like, here's my keys.
Okay,
like,
I was getting to that.
Yeah, can you get rid of my drugs and my porno and all my all the
porno
shit?
That
yeah,
my drugs and my porno and my paraphernalia.
Yeah,
I think is also what he says. Just anything that wouldn't disappoint my mom or break my mom's heart is what he said. And that was where I was just like, oh man,
it's actually kind of touching.
It's touching, but I'm just like, oh man, you're about to die.
I know. They gave him the send off that you know, and he gets it bad.
He does.
He gets it so bad.
This is what happens. In this trail, in this exact series of events, Kat is trapped in the car and is quipping with the firefighter. The firefighter doesn't know how to, perform basic tasks, sets off her airbag, which sends her head back against the PVC pipe, which narrowly missed her head in the beginning, which was already a close call where I was just like, ooh. Mm. She drops her cigarette. It ignites this gas, which causes an explosion, which sends a fence that's covered in barbed wire and turns this man into fucking cheese through a cheese wire.
Oh, yeah, the light speed fence.
The light speed fence. It's true. Light speed
laser fence. Nobody knows that we use laser fences out here in Florida. This is rural Florida, bitch.
Rural Florida, where we got lasers.
Laser fences. That just looks like barbed wire, you fucking idiot.
You fucking idiot. This was my plan the whole goddamn time.
That's like, no. I need that fence right there. Yeah. The PVC pipe's not enough. We gotta insult these fuckers.
True. This is insult to injury. This is the insult to injury death.
Oh, but the fucking firefighter be like, okay, I'll just put it on quiet mode. I'm like,
shut up,
fuckhead. But I'm just like, dude, do your fucking job. She's like in a dire situation.
Right, she's trapped. She's obviously not comfortable. She's freaking out, like, fucking asshole.
Oh, it's bad.
Anyway, the fellowship, really, find their way to the hospital where it is revealed that Isabella gave birth, introducing new life, and might have thrown a curveball towards death's plans. A far too late premonition reveals that Isabella did not die in the original vision, meaning death was still on the hunt, and Isabella had nothing to do with this entire fucking thing.
It's such a non-story at this point, and I love it too because it's like, they're all celebrating she gave birth, and she's like, who the hell are those guys?
Yeah.
that's a good cutaway. That's true. A great cutaway.
Like, who the hell is that?
But also, I love how Death is just like, all right, I'm going to hold this vision, though. Like, I'll give her the pigeons and all the other bullshit. That's fine. Like, you take it. You get me where I need to go. But this is the insult vision. This is just so you know, all your efforts were bullshit.
It was all for naught.
Dummy. Anyways.
Bitch.
Oh. It's a trap. It's a trap. Eugene.
It's a trap.
Yep. Eugene, who had just gotten there only moments ago, really. His room, thanks to the good old Rube Goldberg machination, is filled with oxygen. And Death finally gets Claire Rivers in a double kill via explosion because she opens a rusty door.
This is so sad because she is like trying to find this guy and she's so relieved to find him. She opens the door and he's like, no. And then explosion and Claire Rivers got in the worst way fucking possible.
Oh, right when she had hope.
Yeah. The second she had an emoticum of hope, they're just like, oh no, you're dead, bitch.
He's like,
we gotcha.
We need him to beat dead. Oh shit. Yeah. So bad.
Ay. So Kimberly then realizes a doctor in her premonition she was accusing of murder more than likely wasn't all that bad of a person and concocts a scenario where Kim can drown herself and get saved. Did you get that?
Did you get her convoluted-ass logic this whole movie?
Where she's just like, only death can bring new life. And she looks and there happens to be a newspaper clipping about a man who, like, was just, like, dead for a couple minutes after drowning and is brought back to life. And she's just like, no, it all makes sense now. I can piece it all together. I have to kill myself.
Death is like, oh, fuck, did I leave her by that fucking board? Oh, shit. She got me.
She got me.
Okay, so it turns out this technicality is... Before I get there, actually, she was ready to throw this fucking doctor under the bus.
Oh, yeah. She was ready to kill herself.
Yeah. She's just like, nope, this Dr. Kevorkian or whatever.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Dr. Kybella fucking whatever goddamn name she can think of. She's just like, she's gonna cap somebody. We gotta stop this bitch. It's so dumb. The doctor's just doing her fucking job.
It's true. The doctor's just trying to save her.
Ay, ay, ay. But of course, this technicality is totally viable, and the surviving duo defeat death. I put detest death.
They also detest death.
They detest death in defeat. Death's like, I'll get you.
I'll get you, my pretty.
Is that another fucking car accident?
Is that someone on a bike?
Oh,
is that Tony
shit.
Todd on a bike?
It's like the end of the Matrix with fucking the architect and the oracle, but it's Tony Todd and death.
No,
they know this peace won't last.
I thought Tony Todd was death in this movie.
No, he's not.
He's just a creepy old man?
I think he just has an understanding of death.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like the rules guy.
He works in a mortuary, therefore he knows death.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but I thought he was death, and they just happened, and they're like, I don't know.
I thought it's a weird line they toe.
Okay, because there's a point where, like, he's just, like, a little on the nose. And by the third one, in the third one, it's a little, like, he's just like, beware, children. Ha, like, ha,
yeah. He's on the PA, right? In the... Yes, I remember that. Oh my god, yeah, this is a good movie.
we'll get to it. So, to celebrate sometime later, they celebrate sometime later by returning to the scene of the accident that killed half of their friends and team, but for a barbecue this time.
Yeah, yeah, wait, what a... Boy, do you remember when we had all that trauma? Let's have
go
meat
back
on
and,
fire.
And meet some strangers, like...
Yeah, we met you guys one time, how about we totally be bros?
Yes.
Ugh, they learned that these farmhand's son cheated death that very day by not getting hit by the explosive bus. And so, this gets rectified immediately, as for some reason, the kid explodes, providing one more stinger before the end credits
Okay,
roll.
So I got that as, what's the fucking, police officer's name?
Burke,
because Burke saved the kid.
Yes.
Which put him in a new, like, death cycle with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that now he's involved in this death cycle with this kid and him, which means, because, like, they exchanged this look across the table.
Yeah.
When he explodes, like, they looked at each other like, oh, shit, now we have to kill you and bring you back to life.
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid. Also, and, I mean, I... Obviously, it's not addressed in the third movie, the fourth movie, nor the fifth movie. But, like, why didn't she just, now that she has escaped death, she has beaten the puzzle, find where this is happening elsewhere and be like, hey, this is how you beat the prick. Like...
I think she's learned that her trying to be a good person results in people dying.
I guess.
She just can't
do it.
It's
true. She's like, I have to be a bitch for the rest of my life.
You're like,
now.
No. I've screamed pigeons. I've screamed hook.
I've screamed murderer.
I brought literally a surviving person who went through this whole trauma to the hospital to die. And I almost murdered a doctor. Like, I'm just going to chill.
I'm just not going to be
I just
a
want
person.
Some fucking barbecue. Oh, my God.
Anyway, that's the plot for Final Destination 2. Let's talk about this freaking movie.
It's a lot more ridiculous when you do it play-by-play, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, it
is. That's a lot more ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
So, what'd you think, Alex? First time watching, what'd you fucking think? Final Destination 2?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's fun, but it's ridiculous.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It is, I did enjoy finally filling in some gaps,
yes.
Because going from 1 to 3, like, obviously you're like, where did Devon Sawa go? Where did Ali Larder go? What happened there? And I knew what happened because it was explained to me. It's just like, oh, Devon Sawa was written out of the second one and Ali Larder dies. And I'm just like, that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's far more stupid than I could have possibly imagined.
Yeah, but stupid fun.
It's stupid fun.
It's so stupid fun. It's great.
It's stupid. It's ridiculous fun. No, I did enjoy it. Like,
yeah.
To be fair, like, I don't want to say this is my fave. I mean, it's not gonna... It's
still fresh. It's still fresh on the mind. It's okay.
It's not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. It was enjoyable. definitely like a good like sleepover movie.
Oh my god, absolutely.
This is a good like, hey guys, you want to watch something really fucking funny?
Oh,
and just watch everyone be incredibly terrified by the opening scene.
Oh, it's excellent. Yes,
it's excellent. I agree. Oh, which by the way, very beginning, what's her face? I almost combined the names of AJ Cook and Allie Larder by saying AJ Larder. AJ Cook is driving away, and her dad is like looks down, and there's like a it's transmission fluid, but it looks like blood.
Yeah,
like, that's the stupid. I'm like, okay, so that's the kind of movie.
Oh yeah,
this is the kind of movie we're gonna have. It's gonna be.
Oh, it's
cool.
Great. They let you know how dumb it is right out the bat.
It goes, it's that on the nose the entire movie.
You know what though? Surprisingly self-aware.
It's self-aware.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's pretty wild. But anyway, what did you think, Anthony, realizing you watched this movie far more times than you thought you had? I thought I'd seen this before. I hadn't. Not once.
I did not realize this movie was, like, fundamental to, like, my childhood / adolescent years. I didn't know that. Like, I always just was like, oh, yeah, it's Final Destination 2, whatever. It's like, But then I watched it again, I'm like, I know every frame of this fucking movie. What the f-? And I was like, oh, right, that was one of the OG DVDs.
The OG.
The OGs. And honestly, I this is probably the most fun I've had with it in, like, decades.
Aww.
Like, I was just in my room, like, fuck, I should have just paid for it. Yeah. Like, I was like, I knew I was going to go back and watch the desk because I love the desks in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are... They are top tier. These are some fantastic fucking deaths. Yeah. And it's crazy to me because the car scene, as great as the deaths are, the car scene just eclipses everything. Mm-hmm. It really, 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 really does. I enjoyed the hell out of this. Again, it's not a perfect movie. It's not... I mean, it's good in its own way, but it's not like... cinema.
No.
No, it is not.
It's not. You're not going to throw up the hand gesture. The hand gesture. The fucking cinema.
This ain't cinema at all, dude. This is schlock.
It is schlocky.
And I love, you know how committed this movie is to its premise because it takes the rules and the characters pretty seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it dumps them and like, it just goes carnival with all their asses while trying to establish a lore.
I mean, and you know, I'm going to give the director credit for this. I mean, he does do a good job of taking the things that Final Destination did well
mm-hmm.
and taking it to the next level in Final Destination 2. So it does give it this, like, I guess, lore of fantastical deaths where it's just like, okay, well, how are we going to up the ante in the next one?
And it's very distinguished from the first one. The first one was very plot-driven. This one, this one, not so much. Like, there's a plot there, but only so she can scream only the thing and kill the person.
Only in essence.
Yeah. No,
I mean, yeah. And then Final Destination 3. I mean, who needs a plot when you have Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Oh, my God. Just being mortified left and right. Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic.
I can't wait till we get to that one. I'm sorry.
I'm going to do it this season, honestly, despite...
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm way down. That's one of my favorites.
Interesting. Well, we only have, you know, there's only five. Yeah,
that's true. There's only five. I'm just trying to avoid four. I fucking hate that one. It's weird.
Four's the NASCAR one, right?
Yeah, four's the NASCAR one.
I don't think I've seen five.
Oh my god, five's the best.
Really?
Five's the best one. I've said this in the last episode that we did, because this, to me...
I didn't re-listen to the first one in preparation for this. I probably should have, but...
This whole series is full of bangers. I didn't realize that this movie was also a banger to me. But
so it's just a series of bangers.
With the exception of four, but even then, maybe I'll watch four again and like it. Who the fuck knows?
I mean, maybe you'll watch four and find things that you like about it.
Exactly.
And also, if four is just kind of that's better than shitty.
That's a good point.
In comparison to four other movies that are pretty fucking good.
Pretty fucking good, but honestly, five's the best. Number one.
I haven't seen five.
Oh, five is... I would even say don't even wait for the podcast, just fucking watch
it. I was going to say, should I just watch five?
I think you should. I think it's such a great movie.
All right.
Yeah.
Noted.
It's my favorite. But this one, up there, it's just fucking good. I love it. I don't know what it is. And yeah, I think we actually covered this question already, so I'm going to go to the next one.
Sure.
How does the crew in this movie compare to the first one, and which character did you want to die the most?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what? I actually was thinking about this as I was watching it. I liked that this was a group of strangers and not a group of friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it removes the plot of the portion of it, but also...
I think it's just a different dynamic. Because, yeah. I mean, like, again... I'm comparing it again to 1 and 3, because mm-hmm. Those are the ones I have the most experience with. But in 3, it's also a group of, like, high schoolers, really, people that all know each other.
Yeah, they all have a history.
Right, they all have history. Versus 2, where it's, like, literally just, like, people on the fucking freeway. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, you know?
Happenstance has really gotten them together. Yeah. And they have to figure it all out in, like, improv.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of cool. The one that I was cheering for, again... I would say one of the weaker points for this is, like, I was kind of ambivalent about all of the characters in this movie.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was... The only person... which is sucks. The only person I really was rooting for was Clear. And yeah. Obviously she got...
Oh, she got it bad. She got it bad.
I think... In term... Well, no, because even the drug guy...
He had redeeming moments.
He had redeeming moments where I was just like, "Oh my god, you're fucking annoying." Yeah. And they played him up to part, like his the cliche of the stoner was mm-hmm. there for sure.
Yeah, you know what? I felt bad for pretty much all of them until their death scenes. To be honest with you, like I was annoyed by them initially, and then before their deaths, they usually have a moment where I'm just like, "Oh, you're a person."
Yeah. What I did really like is the guy who won the lottery.
Oh, yeah.
You learn so much about his character in, like, just, like, the few moments that you see.
It's, like, the text or whatever it is.
Where he's living, kind of what his, like, he just won the lottery, so now he's, like, doing all this shit.
Getting messages from ladies.
Yeah, that was the thing that I loved, where he's, like, he's obviously a fucking player, and then he's getting all these voicemails where he's just, like, where they're just, what's his fucking name? Eric, or what's his name?
Yeah, something like that. I can't
hold on, I have to find it, because now I'm gonna... Hold on.
Eugene?
Eugene.
No, that's the other guy.
Hold on, I gotta find it now.
Oh, fuck, I just put it up. It's totally in here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know, you did.
Evan.
Where they're just like, "Hi, Evan. I heard you just won the lottery. Can I come suck your dick?"
I know. Like, so, I heard you just won the lottery, and I heard your dick is dry right now.
Like, that's pretty much exactly what just happened. Like, it happens twice.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I really like that point. And he just learned a lot about his character. And then he gets got.
And he gets got fast. Oh, it's great.
There's nothing really redeemable about him. So I would say he was the one I was most looking forward to his death.
Me, it was the kid drumming with the fucking waters.
Oh, my God.
This kid annoyed the shit out of me.
Did they show his death?
Yeah, with the glass.
They don't show it in the fucking movie, that I watched.
Oh, it's gruesome. It's so gruesome.
Hold on. Can I look this up?
Look it up, because it's fucking gruesome. It's great. It's great.
That's fucking brutal.
Isn't it?
Okay, so they cut away all of these, like, the more gruesome ones, they cut to a commercial.
They show them in, like... All the whole thing's shown in the actual movie.
In fucking Philo. Fuck. Yeah.
I know. It's a little disappointing, but...
That's a bummer.
They are some of the gnarliest deaths in the series. I'm gonna be honest. Like, they're up there.
That is... Oh, I'm gonna have to watch all the deaths later.
Oh, you should. There's a, Dead Meat, a great YouTube channel, does kill counts. Uh-huh. They did it for the entire series. Highly recommended. Check it out. I will link you the video.
He just, like, is disintegrated.
Yeah.
That is brutal.
Yeah, so that's the kid I wanted, the person I wanted to die the most.
I mean, he's annoying.
Yeah.
He's kind of a shithead.
Although
I don't like wishing death on children, but in this case, sure.
Yeah. But I mean, also...
The mom was also annoying.
Yeah, she's fucking annoying, too. That's true. But they both got it so bad. Okay, so the actual dentist visit portion, though, I wanted that shit to end. I'm like, just let him live. I don't want to keep seeing this shit. This is horrifying.
Just let him live.
But in terms of back to the question comparison from the first one to this one, I just had a revelation while you were mm-hmm. explaining the movies to me right now. To make a video game analogy for any of our nerd listeners, this is
not me. Certainly not me.
Any of our hardcore nerd listeners, this is Resident Evil 1 and 2 in comparison.
Sure.
So Resident Evil 1. It's a squad. They all know each other. They uh-huh. have a history, and they go through a very, very, like, uh-huh. to the point scenario, just one story. In Resident Evil 2, much like Destination 2, they're all strangers. And, you know, Raccoon City PD out there, like Leon Kennedy. Jesus.
I've actually seen many a siren, like many an accident, many an issue this morning or this evening coming home. I think because of daylight savings ending, people have forgotten how to drive at night.
Yeah, and they're more tired too. They're just dumber. Mm-hmm. But no, this is a lot like Resident Evil 2. Mm. The people come together, strangers, the scenarios. There's obviously some stuff that links to the first one, mm-hmm. but they're also still on their own. Like, it's a whole...
I can see that.
The narrative reasoning behind these characters being where they are, it's really similar.
The only reason I can see that is because I listened to our podcast.
That's right.
Because we covered both of those.
We covered
wonderful entries into the Resident Evil franchise.
Yeah, in fact, that first Resident Evil episode was still one of our most listened to episodes. People really like that one.
I'm sorry if I said anything stupid. I'm sure I did.
Oh, just make sure you play Resident Evil 4 over the next couple months, because...
Look at what I'm doing.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Look at me charging my Xbox.
She's just pointing at the controller.
My Xbox controller.
All right, so now fun time. Tony Todd's William Bloodworth is looking for other industries where he can explain bad news to people. Which ones will he find the most success in?
Politics.
Oh my god. Oh, I did not think about that one. Oh, that's fantastic.
Politics.
I love it. He would.
The
he
mortgage would, business.
He would totally be. I see, mine was Wall Street.
There you go.
Yeah, mine was going to be like, he's going to be the worst stock trader. He's going to be like,
no,
this
politics,
is a subprime mortgage. Like, are you sure? You want to doom your family?
He's like...
But politician, yeah. Oh, yeah. He can be the governor
like,
or something.
Doom today. Doom tomorrow.
It's the whole town of Edgelords. He's just like... Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm just a comptroller, really. But this whole town's fucked. What would be a good one? So those are some pretty good professions. Who else delivers bad news? Oh, he'd be a horrible plumber.
I was going to say he'd be a really bad oncologist.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Just a thought.
Bad plumber. I mean, any kind of medical field,
no,
really.
No, oncologist in particular.
Oh, my gosh.
Bad cancer doctor.
Yeah. He'd be like, listen, if you would have just came, 2 weeks ago.
Could have stood a chance.
2 weeks, doctor? Really? He's like, I don't actually know, but...
Oh, boy.
Let's see.
Insurance adjuster.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, he wouldn't be good about that.
No,
no, that's honestly most jobs he wouldn't do great in.
Mm-mm.
Oh, dude, he'd be shit at like a fast food restaurant as one of the guys that like he's order number 87. Your heart will clog in 10 years from eating this. Just pops it.
There you go.
And here's your extra Coke, sir.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it'd be great.
You're like, we're all dying slowly.
Have you ever followed that Twitter account, Nihilist Arby's?
You've told me about this.
Oh, my God.
You told me about this when we worked together, my dude.
It's so good. Did you follow it, though?
I did. I still follow it. And every time I see their tweets, it makes me think of you.
Oh, I see them all. This is one of the few times I go on Twitter so I can see what Nihilist Arby's is up to.
And eat Arby's.
Tony Todd. And Tony Todd's voice is even better.
Tony Todd to read Nihilist Arby's tweets. Oh, that'd be good. I don't even like Arby's.
Yeah, me neither.
But it's so good.
It's a killer account.
It's a good account. Yeah, so I think those are some good options.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Now, next question here.
Okay.
Which characters from other movie franchises do you think would fare best in the highway crash scene in the beginning?
Chucky.
Chucky, would you think he'd be good?
The man can't die.
That's a good point. He's trying to kill the fucking trucker guy.
He's moving. He's rocking and rolling.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Chucky's like, he'd make it.
He's the reason behind that runaway truck.
He's causing it.
Yeah, the runaway truck that takes out her bros.
Yeah.
That's because Chucky caught the driver.
So are you talking like entire franchises? Like if I were to take the characters from X franchise and put them in this movie?
Yeah,
or like one character? Okay, so I would say Chucky.
Yeah.
If you're taking one singular character... and then in terms of franchises, I would say, fair best?
Yes.
Shit.
Or who would you like to just see in there?
Scream. Sydney Prescott.
Oh my god.
She also can't die.
I would love to see Kurt Russell's character from Death Proof.
Yes!
Just fucking...
Okay, that's a good one.
He's just like, this car can't crash, bitch. Fucking throw a log at me.
I love it.
That
yes.
would be a good one.
Okay, yes, good.
And then, of course, who I kind of want to see just get taken out, but like the way that it would happen is just the entire Fast and Furious franchise trying to get through this
okay,
one
Okay, I was
spot.
Going horror. You were just like anyone.
I'll take anything.
Yeah, okay, like, Fast and the Furious. Yes, mm-hmm. I love it.
I see if Vin Diesel just try.
Yes.
Just try. He's done some shit.
No, he would just look at the log flying at his car, mm-hmm. and he would say the words family, and the log would just vanish. It would just split down the middle around his car.
And just take out innocent people while
yeah,
he's still
exactly.
going.
And he's just he's like going. Going. He's driving with one hand. He's like, he's looking at the, then he says family, and it splits, and it's taking out fam, it's taking out cars of like, kids.
Oh, you know.
Orphanages.
What? No. You know what he does? You know what he does is he gets on the roof of his car. Not the roof. Yeah, the hood. While Michelle Rodriguez is driving. She's like, you're crazy, Dom. You're crazy. And he just, he jumps and he rides the log as it fucking just destroys people.
Yes, okay.
And, but all the people you're behind crazy, him are Dom, his enemies. And then she, her, the fucking, you know, the Challenger
oh
flips
God.
That she's on, but it lands on its force.
Vin Diesel, if you're listening to this, and if any of it shows up in fucking, what are we on, Fast 11, Fast 10?
I think it's going to be Fast 10.
Yeah, Fast 10, I want royalties.
Yeah, no, this is, you got to ride the log and destroy your enemies. That's yeah. that's exactly how this
that's
works.
That's absolutely it.
Exactly
yeah.
how it works.
Jesus. Oh, that was good.
Yeah. So, kill of the film.
Oh, God. Well, since I didn't see most of them, Jesus. Kill of the film. Who died? Oh, what's his face? Getting cheese wired with the barbed wire.
Oh, shit. That's a good one.
Yeah,
yes.
That one I was really bummed out about.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, especially since he kind of redeems himself there.
Actually, that whole set of kills was my kill mm-hmm. of the film. Like, the airbag and then the sudden, like, her head being, like, sent into... The, yeah, no, yeah. That was pretty gnarly.
That one surprised the shit out of me when I first watched mm-hmm. it. Like it,
I
like,
mean, it surprised the shit out of me when I first watched it two
dude,
days ago.
Right? I was like... Because, okay, in the trailer back mm-hmm. in the day, actually, the scene of the thing narrowly missing her, mm-hmm. like, pointing to the back of her head... That was in the trailer.
I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah, that was totally in the trailer. So that was, to me, I was like, I always remembered like, oh, what's that scene going to be?
That's shit I remember from being 8 years old.
It was a good trailer. Or a TV spot, whatever.
Well, at this point, it was 2003, January 2003, so I was seven. Yeah, the shit you remember when you're 7 years old.
Jesus. But yeah, but I would actually say Lottery Boy. Lottery Boy's death is...
Okay.
I don't know if I want to count the highway stuff, because the highway stuff is just its own beast. Like,
oh, yeah,
just
that's just a whole collective death.
That's too high caliber to really include as a kill of the film, but I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, for sure, Lottery Boy. His the whole scenario behind it, and then the thing just getting him right at the fucking end is
it's
fantastic.
It's true. I thought he was going to make it. I was just like, oh, wow, death is really... Really lowering its game at this point. Like, I was just like, Jesus, okay. And then he gets taken out. But
see, death wasn't lazy. Death was efficient. It just let people get to where they need to go.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, now I'm getting you.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting you. You're done.
Now I'm getting you.
See, because in the first movie, he tried to like play it up, like and throw off the cops and make it look like suicide
in
and do all these things.
In the first movie, you see shit like moving around by itself. You like, you know, it's like staging the scene. So
yeah.
It's a perfect circumstance where someone falls to their death like so perfectly that it's like a freak accident.
Yeah, and then in this one, it's just like just a little to the left. Just a little to the left. Oh, dead.
He's like, oh, you just gotta chase those pigeons.
Give her the pigeon vision. Get you there. There you go, dumb bitch.
Give him the pigeons.
Yes, scream pigeons. Oh boy.
Speaking of pigeons.
Yes, what would you rate The Final Destination?
The Final Destination.
El Los. What would you rate Final Destination 2 out of 5? Very poorly placed pigeons.
I'll give it 3.
Give it 3? Right down the middle? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll give it slightly above half.
That's a good. That's a good way
to do
it.
It was very. It was enjoyable, but I'm. Mm-hmm. That's as good as it's getting for me.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it 3.5. 3.5 for
Jesus.
Me.
Okay.
Nostalgia factor. For
I understand.
Sure. And honestly, I know these deaths. These are some of the best deaths.
Yeah,
literally.
I'm gonna have to watch because apparently I missed a couple, but because we cut to commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, but man, They're good.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, before we head off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, you
did not toss that up top.
I totally meant to mention that. This is our Thanksgiving week episode.
Yay!
So.
Usually it's Evil Dead, but that was 150, you fuckers.
Yeah, right. So I hope everyone's enjoying a wonderful Thanksgiving, whether or not you celebrate or spending some time with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be back next week. With something. Hold on.
It's a special time of the year next week.
Oh shit!
I don't know how you forgot that one because you're writing this shit.
It's
your thing.
It's my thing.
Yeah. Get it together, Webster.
Jesus Christ! I have one job. Well, I have several.
Yeah.
I have so many. Next week, guys. It is Cronenberg Christmas.
Oh shit! Kidnap the Santa Claus. Damn, Cronenberg Christmas. It's already another one.
Jesus Christ!
Number four.
It's our fourth Cronenberg Christmas.
Yeah.
Super excited. Holy shit, I can't believe it's December next week.
Don't even fucking.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so yeah, next week, Cronenberg Christmas, very excited. This is something, it's one of his more popular, well, not popular, it's one of his more studio-based works.
Okay.
I'm very excited to talk about it. I have a lot of I have a personal connection to it as, like, my parents watched it. You know what
Aww.
I mean? So, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to talk about this.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah. Join us next week for that. Also, just as a friendly reminder, I mentioned this last week, we are taking 2 weeks off at the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
So the 22nd and the 29th of December, we will be off air.
Yes. Have fun with your families.
Have fun with your families. We might drop something in the feed to keep you entertained.
Yeah.
But we are not going to be putting out traditional episodes those 2 weeks, so keep that in mind. And that was Final Destination 2 from 2003, directed by David R. Ellis. If you like what you heard, please, please, please subscribe wherever you're listening and write a review. If you are listening on iTunes, it does help other people find this podcast and it keeps us boosted up in the charts.
Yes.
We get to boast that 5.0 five-star rating.
Yes.
We have a perfect rating. Don't fuck it up for us.
Please don't fuck it up.
And then...
We promise to keep making good content.
Right. And if you think we deserve a couple dollars for what we do here, we do have a Patreon. You can find us on patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. Feel free to check that out. We have tiers as low as $5 a month, so feel free to check that out. And if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod. And we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. And if you would like to follow Anthony, he is on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
Mm-hmm. Taking pics of my new phone.
Yeah. And you can find...
As I hit the fucking mic.
Yeah. I was also going to make taking pictures if he remembers.
I got some in here.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. Yeah, I've been hanging out at the Frida a lot. I've been trying to go to more movies. And yeah, so I've just been hanging out and you can follow me there if you feel so inclined. And yeah, in the meantime, if shit seems wacky on the freeway, maybe pull over until shit calms down a little bit. Just a thought.
Yeah. And beware of pigeons.
Beware of fucking pigeons.
Beware of pigeons.
Bye, guys. Peace.